Welcome to the Landmark Podcast. I'm Jason Calhoun, pastor of Landmark Pentecostal Church in Texarkana, Texas. We encourage you to visit us on the web at landmarkupc.net for a schedule of services and upcoming events. We pray that you are blessed by the message today. Thank you again for listening. The only thing that created everything that you look at is the Spirit and the Word. When His Word spoke, the Spirit of God moved. And that's what we got here tonight. We got the Word and the Spirit working in this house. Hallelujah. And when the Spirit and the Word begins to work, things can happen. Things will begin to move. Things will begin to fall in place. Praise God. 1 Samuel chapter number 30 and verse 8, and David inquired at the Lord, saying, "Shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them?" And he answered him, this is the Lord speaking back to his request, "Pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all." That's encouraging, isn't it? And so David went, and his 600 men that were with him came to the brook Besor, where those that were left behind stayed. But David pursued, and his 400 men, for 200 abode behind, which were so faint that they could not go over the brook Besor. And they found an Egyptian in the field and brought him to David and gave him bread, and he did eat. And they made him drink water. And they gave him a piece of cake of figs and two clusters of raisins. And when he had eaten, his spirit came again to him, for he had eaten no bread nor drunk any water 3 days and three nights. And David said unto him, "To whom belongest thou, and whence art thou?" And he said, "I am a young man of Egypt, servant of the Amalekite. And my master left me, because 3 days agone I fell sick. We made an invasion upon the south of the Cherethites, and upon the coast which belongeth to Judah, and upon the south of Caleb. And we burned Ziklag with fire." And David said unto him, "Canst thou bring me down to this company?" And he said, "Swear unto me by God that thou wilt neither kill me nor deliver me into the hands of my master, and I will bring thee down to this company." And when he had brought him down, behold, they were spread abroad upon all the earth, eating and drinking and dancing, because all of the spoil that they had taken out of the land of the Philistines and out of the land of Judah. And David smote them from the twilight even into the evening of the next day, and there escaped not a man of them, save 400 young men which rode upon camels and fled. And David recovered all. Everybody say, "Recovered all." That the Amalekites had carried away, and David rescued his two wives, and there was nothing lacking to them, neither small nor great, neither sons nor daughters, neither spoil nor anything that they had taken to them. David recovered all. And David took all the flocks and the herds which they drave before those other cattle, and said, "This is David's spoil." And David came to the 200 men which were so faint that they could not follow David, whom they had made also to abide at the brook Besor. And they went forth to meet David and to meet the people that were with him. And when David came near to the people, he saluted them. Then answered all the wicked men and the men of Belial and of those that went with David, and said, "Because they went not with us, we will not give them aught of the spoil that we have recovered, save to every man his wife and his children, that they may lead them away and depart." Then said David, "Ye shall not do so, my brethren, with that which the Lord hath given us, who hath preserved us and delivered the company that came against us into our hand. For who will hearken unto you in this matter? But as his part is that goeth down to the battle, so shall his part be that tarrieth by the stuff. They shall part alike, And it was so from that day forward. He made it a statute and an ordinance for Israel unto this day. And when David came to Ziklag, he sent of the spoil unto the elders of Judah, even to his friends, saying, behold, a present for you of the spoil of the enemies of the Lord. In other words, there's enough blessing to go around. There's enough victory to go around. We're not going to hoard it. We're not going to keep it within our borders. We're not going to just claim it all for ourselves or be selfish with it. But there's enough to go around. And I want to preach tonight by the help of the Lord from this subject, reinforcements on the road to recovery. Reinforcements on the road to recovery. Amen. It's good to see all of you in the house of the Lord. So good to have Joanna back with us tonight. It's good to have these others that are here. We appreciate you being with us in the house of the Lord. I believe the Lord wants to speak to us in this service. You believe that? You believe the Lord has something for us in this house yet that we can receive and that can benefit us and be a blessing to us? Amen. If you do, why don't you raise your hands to the Lord and let's pray together right now that the Lord would bless. He would help us in the remainder of our service tonight. Jesus, we thank you so much for your touch, your help, your guidance, your strength, everything that you've given to us thus far, your many blessings in our life. I pray, God, that you would bless us with your anointing again to minister your word. Help us all to receive what we need from the Lord and be revived in our spirit here tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. And the church said amen. Why don't you again worship the Lord with me and give him praise. Be patient with me tonight. I got a little throat condition here. Been suffering with a cold. You can be seated. Amen. Reinforcements on the road to recovery. Because of the intensifying pressure that was mounting upon David, you know that David had the anointing of the Lord upon him, and Saul had his predecessor had the anointing stripped from him. And have you ever thought what a feeling that would have to be to once be anointed of God, to have victory and to have the hand of the Lord and the favor of God upon you, and then to lose that and to have that stripped away from you? I can only imagine what Saul must have felt like. And then to add insult to injury, to see a younger man coming on the scene that possesses that anointing that you used to feel, that you used to enjoy, that you used to experience yourself. And now this young man, David, is coming prominently upon the scene and doing exploits that Saul should have been able to do, slaying giants that Saul should have been able to slay, having victory over enemies that Saul should have had victory over. But because he lost his anointing, he was unable to obtain those victories. I'm going to tell you again tonight that we need the anointing of God. I want to remind you as a church this evening that we must have the blessing and the favor of God. That's what differentiates. That's what makes the difference. That's what sets us apart. It isn't our buildings. It isn't our programs. It isn't our education level. It isn't any of those things. But it is the anointing of the Holy Ghost that sets us apart, amen, and makes us different. There was nothing to look upon David and say, yeah, that's the man. Matter of fact, when Samuel went down to anoint him, he looked around at some of these other brothers of David and said, surely that's the one. And God said no. And he looked and pointed to another and said, well, surely if God's not going to accept this eldest one, he's going to accept the next eldest one. And he worked his way right on down to that ruddy-faced young boy by the name of David. And God said, this is the one that I place my approval upon. This is the one that I'm going to favor to lead my kingdom. This is the one that's going to possess the coveted anointing. And there were those that no doubt scratched their head and said, David, a shepherd boy comes from the sheep cote a boy that's still young and inexperienced, a boy that isn't been proven, has not had any experience in battle. I don't know how that God could possibly use him. But I want to tell you that when God chooses somebody, when God calls somebody out, it didn't matter what the appraisal of the world is of them. It doesn't matter whether or not we underestimate them. When God puts his hand upon them, when God begins to bless them, he can do great exploits through that individual. Matter of fact, some of you have been discounted. Some of you have been counted out. Some of you, those folks have narrowly looked upon you and said, there's no possible way that God could do anything with them or use them in any kind of capacity. But you're here tonight living for God against all odds. Why? Because God is good and his anointing is powerful. And when he favors somebody, when he pulls somebody up, when he establishes someone, he has the ability to strengthen them, to give them complete victory in their life. So it was with David. I mean, it seemed like he could not lose. Everything that he went out to achieve in God, God gave it to him handedly. And this incited jealousy in Saul. This stirred up feelings and emotions of anger in Saul. And so he began to ploy against David. He began to plan and look for the opportunity that he might destroy him and bring about his demise. He did everything he possibly could to make him look bad. The Bible said that he eyed him from a certain day forward. Amen. You know, when the blessings of God come upon a person's life, it sometimes incites jealousy in other people. You will not always be understood by everyone when you have the blessing and the favor of God upon you. But don't let that bother you. You just continue to walk in the anointing. You continue to be the person that God has called you to be. You continue to walk in favor and victory in God, and God will continue to bless. God will continue to work, and God, amen, will continue to help you to become what you need to become in him. It's only when we turn aside and try to answer our critics and try to get involved in the small scuffles of life that it hinders the anointing and the blessings of God in our life. But if we'll just keep our focus on God, God will continue to bless us. How many believes that tonight? Praise the Lord. And so David, realizing and the pressure becoming so, that finally he realized that I can't stay around Saul and in his palace any longer. And he went into exile. And eventually the Bible indicates to us that he joined himself at this particular time with Achish, the king of the Philistines. And it's a long story, but he made himself appear to be mad or crazy. And he went and he joined himself to the king of the Philistines, which had been the perennial enemy of Israel up until this point. And he joined himself. Now, this would almost be like a trophy unto Achish. This would be someone that, you know, has fought against us, has been a threat to us, has brought down the champion, brought down Goliath. And now we're going to employ him in our army. And he told him to suit up and go to battle with his men. The ironic thing was is that when David did suit up in armament and go forth into battle with the Philistine army, there were those fellow soldiers that looked at him and they said, there's no way we're going out to battle with this young man. Isn't this the one that fought against us? Isn't this the one that used to oppose us? Isn't this, in fact, the one that brought down Goliath? And now you're expecting us to go out to battle with him? They rejected him. He tried his best to look like a Philistine. He tried his best to dress out like a Philistine. He tried his best to mesh with the Philistines and blend with the Philistines, and it didn't work. They still rejected him. This is a lesson to everybody that thinks they're going to be able to go back to the world and they're going to be accepted and they're going to feel like they're a part and they're going to be able to blend and mix and be happy out there in the world. You're never going to be able to join yourself to things that God has delivered you from. You're never going to be happy going back to the world. You may try to blend in. You may try to be a part. You may go along with it as much as you can, but you're going to stick out like a sore thumb. You'll never truly be accepted in the world once you've ever been to this altar, once you've ever experienced the power of the Holy Ghost, because you've got a mark of God upon your life. Amen. Paul said, I bear in my body the marks, amen, of Jesus Christ. In other words, I'm a marked man. I couldn't go back to the world if I wanted to. I can't go back to the things that God delivered me from if I wanted to and feel happy about it and feel complete in it and have peace in it. Oh, it won't happen. The only way you can have the peace of God is to live for God. Sure, there's struggles. Sure, there's pain sometimes. Sure, there's problems. Sure, there's valleys to traverse, but when you walk through there, you can know that I got God with me. I'm not here alone or by myself, and God is going to help me. Aren't you thankful for the hand of God upon our lives, that He helps us, that He strengthens us, and that He's there for us when we need Him? People in this world have problems. Yeah, they try to act like they don't. They try to drown them away. They try to shoot up and get above them. They try to get what they call high and be alleviated from them, but they got problems. They got situations. Try to camouflage them as best they can. They buy and they spend and they get material gain and they think that that's going to satisfy them. But as sure as they get this, they're going to want something else, because that's really not what they're searching for. They're searching for that missing piece in their heart that can only be filled by the presence of God. The Holy Ghost can only satisfy your soul. Nothing else is going to satisfy you. And so David is rejected by these Philistines, and he gathers up a small band of men, and they go out on their own little vigilante posses and take conquests for the Philistines. And upon this time, he went and built the city of Ziklag. This was a city that he had furnished. This was a city that he had built himself and put together on his own. And so you can imagine, this was a city that meant something to him. He had conquered it. He had built it up. He had established it. This was a place where he was kind of headquartering from and going out from to do his work and to make these small raids on the enemies of the land. And while he was gone on one of those raids, the scripture tells us that another enemy, unexpectedly, the Amalekites, came down, swooped down upon them. Now, if you read anything or studied anything about the Amalekites, you understand that they were always a people that preyed upon the weak. Matter of fact, God had such an enmity against them because they preyed upon the children of God while they were in the wilderness, and they would not give them passage in the land. And God, from that moment, put a curse there. And God said that I've got a grudge against the Amalekites. And you find that even David's predecessor, Saul, was given the opportunity to totally annihilate them and wipe them out, because that's what God wanted. That's what God, amen, had stated. That was His command. He wanted them to completely be destroyed because they were such a vile enemy against the people of God. They prayed and enjoyed preying upon the weak. And so while there was no men, there was no strength in the city to defend it, they came down against Ziklag to take that city. And they did not only raid the city and plunder it of all of its wealth, but they took the wives, the innocent, the young out of the city, and they burnt the city with fire. They vandalized the city. They wanted to make a mockery of David's work. All of his blood, sweat, and tears is going up in smoke. And can you imagine when he comes back from his raid and he comes over the hillside and looks down upon the city of Ziklag and sees it smoldering and sees the smoke billowing up into the horizon? The heart must have sunk. There must have been an amount of distress and despair because of this. And matter of fact, the Bible says that he was very distressed. He was distraught because of this happening. All of his work, all of his energies, everything that he had put into it now is going up in smoke. And a vile enemy has done this to him. And if that was not bad enough, if that was not horrible enough, if that did not bring him into discouragement and distress enough, then the fact that there were those that began to murmur among the people that he loved and that he had led for so long, they began to murmur among themselves. Maybe David's not the man we thought he was. And they begin to talk against him. You know, there's always people that are around that when things kind of turn against you, they'll point their finger and say, well, maybe God's not with you after all. Maybe you're not so favored after. Maybe you're not God's person after all. Maybe you're not doing right. Kind of like Job's friends. There has to be a reason, Job, that all of this is going this way for you. You must have the judgments of God upon you. You must have done something to revoke the blessings of the Lord. You must have sin in your life, Job. But again, sometimes bad things happen to good people. And it's really at that moment that we prove what kind of man or woman we are for God. When we're faced with a choice that we can just get angry, we can just get bitter about it, we can just say, woe is me, and we can just hunker down and say, well, I guess I just had to accept this, or we could do what David did. The Bible said that he encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Man, I'm going to tell you, if the devil's trying to beat you up tonight and you feel discouraged in this house, what you need to do is remember that God's on my side. It may seem like right now that I'm in defeat. It may seem like right now I'm down. But you remember one thing, devil. I'm going to get back up. Rejoice not against me, all my enemy. For when I fall, I shall arise. Hallelujah. Come on, let's praise the Lord together. He encouraged himself in the Lord his God. I preached a message one time around here, the art of encouraging yourself in the Lord. You got to have that art. If you're going to make it as an apostolic, if you're going to make it as a born-again Christian in this hour, you're going to have to learn how to encourage yourself. You're not always going to have your mama to pray for you. You're not always going to have your daddy to give you a phone call. You're not always going to have, amen, friends around you to lift you up when you're down. But you can depend on one thing, that if you can stir up that spirit that's within you and encourage yourself, God's never failed you. God's never let you down. God's never walked out on you. You've always got him by your side. Oh, somebody right now just needs to talk back to the devil. Encourage yourself in the Lord just a little bit. Say, devil, you may think you got me down, but you got another thought coming if you think I'm going to stay down. Because I got my mind made up. I'm going to serve Jesus. I got my mind made up. I'm going to do a work for God. He encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And it was then that he set about to recover. And really, recovery is another word for revival or restoration. He set about to see restored the things that the enemy had destroyed and taken away from him. And he was going to make the enemy pay for this. And so I see three things here that David done that we could receive from here tonight. First of all, it started with a desire to recover. A desire for revival. A desire for restoration. Oh, you can't underestimate that. You can never, never, never underestimate the power of somebody's desire. Desire to live for God. Desire to please the Lord. Desire to have the blessings of God in their life. A desire to be used of the Lord. That's where it all starts. That's where it all begins. If you don't have this one essential ingredient, you don't have much. Amen. This is where you start. This is where you get it from. This is where it all begins. You got to have a desire to live for God. You've heard me say it often as your pastor here, that I can give you a lot of things. I can possibly, by the help of the Lord, give you good advice and decisions and choices you need to make in your walk with God. And I can preach to you the word of the Lord, and I can teach to you the word of the Lord, and I can do my best in praying for you and encouraging you and praying the prayer of faith for you when you're down. But there's one thing that I cannot give you, and that's a desire. As bad as I want to infuse people with it, as much as I want sometimes to take a big needle and inject somebody with desire, I can't give anybody a desire to live for God. That's something you got to conjure up yourself. That's something that comes within you. Amen. I can't make you live for God. I can't make you worship God. I can't make you want revival like I want revival. It's got to come within a desire within you, a desire for the things of the Lord. Is there anybody that desires revival? Is there anybody that desires breakthrough? Is there anybody here that desires victory? Anybody here that desires the favor and the blessings of God upon your life? Amen. I don't want to just see somebody else blessed with it. I want to be a part of it. I don't want to just see somebody else rejoice because they got it. I want to rejoice with them. I want it because I need it. I desire the things of God. I need the things of God. You can't make it 5 minutes serving God without desire. You can't get off first base, amen, without having a desire to live for God. You can have all the atmosphere just right. You can have the best preaching in the world. You can be a part of the greatest church in the world. Amen. But if you don't have a desire, it doesn't matter if Jesus Christ is your pastor. It's not ever going to satisfy you if you don't have a desire to live for God. If you're going to serve the Lord, you got to have a desire to serve the Lord. You got to have an appetite. You got to have a hunger within you. Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. It's only the hungry that get the blessing. It's only the hungry that are filled. It's only the hungry that God is able to satisfy. So I gotta stir up a hunger. I gotta have a desire. David said, I can't just sit by and let the enemy trample over me like this. I got a desire to do something about it. Come on, does anybody ever get tired just being run over by the enemy? Being pushed around and intimidated by the enemy? That old voice of your past that says you're never going to be nothing, never going to do nothing. You're always going to be penalized because of your failures and because of your shortcomings and because of your reputation of the past. And look around for every excuse possible not to live for God and not to be a part and not to get involved in the church and not to really do the things that God wants you to do and be what you could potentially be in the kingdom of God. All of those things are just constantly flooding your mind. Does anybody ever get sick of that? You don't have to put up with that. And desire's the thing that's going to build that resistance against that. That says, you know what? I'm going to push back. I'm not just going to take this sitting down. I'm not just going to sit here and let you walk all over me. If you think that I'm just going to take it, you've got another thought coming, devil. I'm going to stand up and bow back my shoulders. I've got my mind made up. I'm going to live for God. I'm going to serve the Lord. I could do it on my high school campus. I could do it on my college campus. I could do it on my job. As vile as this world is and as filthy as this world is, I could serve the Lord. Praise God. I've often thought about these fellows that work out here at the prison. The most vile humans. I mean, sinners, most vile darkness. But you know what? When somebody with desire walks in there to live for God and be a light, you can be a light even in that dark place. Behind those walls that are filled with all kinds of vile sin and corruption and all kinds of things that are ungodly, you can walk in there when those doors close behind you. You can say, I'm not going in here alone. I'm going in here in the name of Jesus. I'm going here in the power of God. I got the Holy Ghost. I got the light of the world with me. I'm able to penetrate the darkness. I'm going to tell you, all it takes is just a little bit of light to penetrate the darkest room. Amen. And all it takes is this one person, one man of God, one lady of God that's got their mind made up. I'm going to live for God. I'm going to be righteous before God. I'm not going to be a part of this. I'm not going to fall in with this. I'm not just going to be rank and file around here. I'm going to stand out for Jesus because I got a desire to please the Lord. We need some people that will stand out for Jesus. Amen. Be a witness. You know what the greatest witness is? Is you just living the life every day consistently and people being able to see it and say, you know what? Whatever they got, that's what I need, because things that get me down don't seem to get them down. Things that affect me doesn't seem to affect them. Things that discourage me doesn't seem to discourage them. They don't have the same perspective I do. Why? Because they got something I don't have. They got the Holy Ghost. Aren't you thankful for the power of the Holy Ghost? Amen. To get salvation, you got to start with desire. Amen. You had a desire to change when you got the Holy Ghost. You didn't just stumble in here, skate in here one night and say, you know what, I think Holy Ghost would be a good idea. I don't believe in that. I don't believe in that. I know there's a lot of people that do, but I don't believe in it like that. I believe there has to be a real desire to change. Has to be a real desire to turn your back on sin. There has to be a real desire to repent of that sin. Make your way to an altar. And if necessary, get down to business and spend time there. And many of us that have stuck around and it's not been fly by night have been people that's come down and we've cried pools of tears on an altar. And we prayed until we prayed through. That's a term we don't use a whole lot anymore. But if you want real victory, you got to have enough desire till you pray until you pray through. Till you get victory, till you overcome the sin in your life. You pray until that old craving and that old desire and that old appetite for the world is gone and is away with it. Amen. And it's covered by the blood of Jesus. That's when victory comes. That's when your help will come, is when you got that kind of desire. You can get so desires from God that you're so sick of the world when you desire God. When people's really in love with Jesus, it nauseates them. It puts a lump in their throat. It causes a grief to come to their spirit when they experience the worldliness and the ungodliness and unrighteousness. When you hear things that you hear outside in this world, it grieves your spirit when you're full of the Holy Ghost. When you're full of the Holy Ghost, not only do you not have a desire to join in with it, but it's repulsive to you. Come on, that's the kind of revival that we need around here. That the world is repulsive to us. That sin is repulsive to us. That being involved in that is repulsive to us. Not only do I not want to go back to it, I don't have anything to do with it. That's what God delivered me out of. That's what God brought me out of. That's what I've been saved from. Oh, if you've been saved from something, there's a danger there. You don't want to go back to it. You don't want to participate in it. You don't want to join with it. Amen. If you again, I don't know why I keep coming back to this, but I'm going to tell you, if you really want to get sin out of your life, first of all, you're going to have to repent of it. And second of all, you're going to have to break connection with it. Yeah. Amen. You're going to have to separate yourself from it. The Bible said, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord of hosts. Amen. If you want the blessings of God and the power of God to enable you to live in victory, you can't keep dabbling with it. You can't keep messing with it. You can't keep on experimenting with it. You can't say, well, you know, the grace of God's alive and well in my life, and I keep... No! The Scripture said if you had that attitude, that you crucify the Lord afresh every time you go back and participate in it. But I believe God is able to thoroughly deliver somebody that's got a desire to be saved. I got a desire. I got a desire to live for God. I got a desire to please the Lord. I don't know about you, but I've had a desire for years. I want to draw closer to God. I want to be more like Him. I don't want to be like this world. I don't want to join in. I know I'm flesh and I know I'm weak and I know I have these things. But God, if you'll help me, I don't want to be what this world is trying to cause everybody to be and fall in with. Bible said we used to walk according to the course of this world. Amen. We was on a course. You ever been to Disneyland or one of these amusement parks? And if you got a conviction against that, well, God bless you. And they got these cars. Now they got a governor on them. I mean, you know, they're not made to race with. They look like a race car. And you get in there and you're sorely disappointed because the thing won't go 10 miles an hour. And if you bog down on it, if you really push down on the accelerator, it starts boom, 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 bogging down on you. And but, you know, I used to think I was big stuff when I was small. We had an amusement park in there. It's called Bell's Amusement Park. They tore down Bell's Amusement Park. But Bell's Amusement Park, that's where I rode my first roller coaster with my dad dragging me up the ramp. Had my heels dug in all the way. He said, boy, you're going to ride this thing. And then after I rode it, I was dragging him up the ramp. Isn't that the way it works? And they had this little course, concrete track, and had these cars, and man, they were almost the size of regular cars. And I get in them thing. I said, "No, Dad, I'm gonna ride by myself." Finally, got tall enough to look over the deal and ride by myself. And you know, sometimes you get to waving and looking for somebody out there that was watching you ride, and you weren't paying attention, and you just drift, and you weren't turning with the road, and all of a sudden, boom, you'd feel that thing. It didn't matter whether or not you were steering or not. It didn't matter if you was paying attention or not. You know what? You was going to end up at the same destination. You're going to end up going on the same little track because there was a bar in the middle of that thing, and it drift over just a little far, but it wouldn't go too far. It wouldn't even, the tires wouldn't even come off the edge of the road before it dragged you back over this way. And then if you didn't pay attention and you steered off a little bit, it'd steer you back over this way. And that's just the way it went because it was on a course. We used to walk according to the course of this world. The devil used to manipulate what we did and how we did and how much we did and how far we would go. But we got broke free from all of that at a Pentecostal altar. When we got the Holy Ghost and was baptized in the name of Jesus, we got deliverance from that. Amen. We got freedom from all of that. We don't have to end up the same destination of this world. We don't have to go along with the things of this world. We don't walk according to the course of this world any longer. Amen. And it started with an old-fashioned hunger and desire for God. That's right. So David, he began this quest with a desire for God. And then secondly, David sought God for direction or permission. Verse 8, it said, "Pursue, thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all." God said, "Shall I pursue? Shall I overtake them? I don't want to jump off into something I know better than to do something against your will. But God, if you'd give me permission, if you'd give me direction about this, I'll go and I'll pursue. I've got the courage. I've got the desire to do it. And if you'll allow me to do it, then I'll go and I'll pursue the enemy and recover what has been lost." And God said, "Pursue." He got direction from God. God said, "I'm going to give you permission to do that. Not only am I going to give you permission, but I'm going to give you empowerment, and you're going to recover not just the things you lost, you're going to recover more so. Matter of fact, you're going to get so much, you're going to be able to spread it around." Have to jump kind of to the end of my message. You guys are sitting there like you're dull tonight. Amen. But I understand that God is able, amen, not only to give us what we need for now, but he's able to give us enough, not only for now, but for the future. That's right. Praise God. Direction from God. You know, that's a necessary thing. Can I spend just a little bit of time talking about how necessary it is for us to have proper direction from God? We don't just strike out on things on our own, in our own self-will, because we're not able to accomplish it by ourselves. That's the whole deal. When you seek direction from God, what you're really saying is, "I trust the Lord that he knows what's best for me. That I trust the Lord and have faith that I can't do it by myself." That person that just strikes out in their own desire, it's a great thing. And I've spent 20 minutes here preaching about desire, but let me just spend a couple of minutes talking about direction. You can have all the desire in the world, and that's not going to help you if you don't have direction from God. Amen. You've got to have direction. God, are you going to permit? Are you going to help me? Are you going to be with me? Are you going to enable me in this quest and this desire that I have and prayer that I have? Are you going to work with me in this? And God said, "Pursue." You know what confidence that must have given David when God said, "Not only am I giving you permission to pursue, but you will overtake them and you will recover everything." Oh, you can go on the battlefield then knowing that God's with you, knowing that God is going to bless and God is going to give you everything that you have need of. Oh, can I preach to somebody in this place tonight? There's nothing like having God's hand upon you. There's nothing like God being on your side. There's nothing like knowing and having confidence that I'm not out here just flailing on my own. I'm not out here just doing this by myself, but I got a God that's working with me. I'm teamed up with God. I'm labors together with him. Oh, let me just encourage you in the Holy Ghost right now and tell you that it is God's will that we recover. It is God's will that we have revival. It is God's will that there be apostolic restoration. It is God's will that there be power in this place. It is God's will that your family be saved. Oh, clap your hands and let's give praise to the Lord. Not only did he have that confidence of knowing that God had given direction, it started with desire. And then second, direction. And then third, he had determination to make the recovery. You know, a lot of us start out with desire, but the first little opposition and first little setback and first little discouragement and disappointment comes along, that desire wanes a little bit. But he didn't stop with that. He had a determination, a follow-through. You know, Nancy Reagan just passed away this last, what was the week before, but they had her funeral this past Friday. And there was a speaker, I'm told, at her funeral that made this application a story about Nancy Reagan. He said that she loved Ronald Reagan way before he ever really fell in love with her. And she wanted to win him. And he had a ranch, and he liked to go and spend time on that ranch, and she didn't care anything about that ranch. But she loved Ronald Reagan. And she wanted to win his heart. And he would go and spend time on that ranch and spend lots of days out there relaxing. It rejuvenated him. It was a blessing to him. And she didn't like it at all, really. I mean, she'd get bored to tears. And finally, one day she asked, she said, "Ronnie, what can I do? I'm kind of bored out here. I mean, you seem like you're busy and happy and everything. And I'm here because I love you. But what could I do?" And he said, "You know, there's a white fence there that's about a mile or a little less long, that goes out to the road." He said, "If you want to busy yourself with something, we could paint that fence, or you could paint that fence." And she didn't have to be told twice. She went and got a bucket of paint. Nancy Reagan went out there, and she painted not just one side, but both sides of that long fence. Now, she never did it again. But she didn't have to. She won the heart of Ronald Reagan. Amen. Because she had determination. And she didn't just have a desire. Desire would said, "You know what? That joker, he ain't no smarter than that, than to love me and to like me and to fall in love with me. Now, I'm sure not going to paint no crazy fence for him." But she said, "I got a determination. I'm going to win this man's heart. I'm going to win this man's affection." Can I preach to you tonight? You got to have determination to make up your mind. "I'll do whatever's necessary, but I am going to live for God. If it means me getting up a little earlier and going to the prayer room, then I'll do it. If it means me buckling down in some areas so that I can really be a success living for God, then I'll do it. If it means me cutting off certain things and cleaning out certain things in my life, if that's necessary for me to live for God, then I don't have a problem with it, because I don't want any impediment, because I got determination that I am going to live for God." Is anybody determined here tonight? He said, "Any man that puts his hand to the plow and looks back's not fit." But that person that's got their mind made up said, "You know what? I may not be the fastest. I may not be the swiftest. But he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved." I got determination. I got my mind made up. I will live for the Lord. I will be saved. Amen. That's what you got to have. You got to have a real desire. Brother Oggs used to say, you got to have the want to. You got to have the want to. Amen. You talk about impediments. You talk about setbacks. But determination overcame them in Brother Oggs' life. And that's what's going to help you to overcome things, is a determination to live for God. But you know what? Even with these three crucial things that I've talked about, desire, direction, and determination, there was still something lacking. There was there was still something that was needed. Because if he had the majority of what we talked about here tonight, 2 out of 3 is things that pertain to him personally, that came from his own fleshly abilities. Like I told you, God can't even give you a desire. You got to have a desire. Now, you can pray for it and God can help you with it, but what I'm saying is you got to have desire to live for God. You got to make a choice, your own self, to live for the Lord. God isn't going to twist anybody's arm or isn't going to persuade anybody through any method to live for him. Amen. But you got to make up your own mind, desire. And you can determine within yourself to live for the Lord. But there's still something lacking here that I believe that comes out in this story, because the Bible said, though they had desire, David had desire and he had determination, when they got to this brook, that they were so faint and they were so weak that they couldn't cross over it. They didn't have the strength to go on and obtain the victory. And I'm going to just tell you something. You'll never be able to attain true spiritual victories in your flesh. Come on, did you get that tonight? Some of us think, I said it this morning, some of us think, well, I'm big enough, I'm strong enough, I got enough willpower, I can do it on my own, I don't need anybody's help, I got it by myself, I got this. You know, that's kind of the phrase that the world uses, I got this. Amen. No, you haven't got this. If you're saved, it's going to be because God got this. It's going to be because God helped you. It's going to be because you had the Spirit's enablement. It's going to be because God sustained you to have the victory. 1 Corinthians 15 and 57 says, but thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. It wasn't through the works of the flesh. It wasn't through anything I was able to do. I gave my will to God. I gave my desire to him. I was determined to live for it. But God had to give me that missing link. God had to give me that empowerment. God had to give me help and reinforcement on the journey. Because all of us get to a point that we're weak and we're just mere flesh, and we're made to realize that. All of us come to a point that we need an answer. We need God to come through for us. Our back's against the wall. Ever been there in your walk with God? I mean, maybe there's something that blindsides you. Maybe there's something that comes upon you unexpectedly, and you didn't anticipate it. You didn't know where it even came from, and it was a surprise attack. Amen. How many's ever had a surprise attack from the enemy? I mean, it really wasn't a surprise to God. We know that nothing gets around God, but it was a surprise to us. Where'd this come from? Why'd this happen? Why'd this take place? Why this setback? Why am I feeling this way? And so on. And the Bible says, when these men were so weak, in verse 10 there, that they could not pursue any further. In verse 11 it says, and they found an Egyptian in a field, and brought him to David, and gave him bread, and he did eat, and they made him drink water. This man was famished. He had 3 days in that harsh environment. I was talking to a man that had been in Iraq just the other day. He had served in Iraq. He said, man, it could be well over 100 degrees during the day, and he said, you'd freeze to death at night. He said, it was one extreme to the other, and that's kind of the environment that this man was in, this kind of climate. And can you imagine 3 days and 3 nights out there by himself, no water to drink, no food to eat. He was famished. He was weak, and they came upon him at the right time. And he was able to give them the insight. He was able to share with them secrets to the enemy and where the enemy was. You know what? They may have searched out there in that environment, in that atmosphere of the desert for a long time and never found the enemy. Had God not provided somebody? Had God not allowed them to come upon this Egyptian? Had God not give them reinforcements on their road to recovery? Cannot preach to you tonight that God sends things at the right time. Oh, you're not hearing me tonight. I said God sends things at the right time. Sometimes we want it earlier. Sometimes we prefer it to come at a different time. Sometimes we think God is late, but God's never late. God's always right on time. He's right on schedule. He never messes up. He always brings it to pass right when we need it. when they were weak, when they were faint, when they felt like they couldn't go on anymore. He said, right over here, I got somebody that's going to encourage you. I got somebody that's going to give you some insight. I got somebody that's going to share some secrets about the enemy with you. Well, let me just bring it. I mean, I think some of you are making a hard time making the connection here. So let me just bring it down to where we're living. Sometimes we drag in here. We think, oh, my God, I've been surprised. I've been attacked. My life is smoldering. It's went up in smoke. Everything I planned on, every dream I had, it's been decimated. It's gone. It doesn't seem like there's any hope or no way out. And all of a sudden, we drag into church. And God, it seems like, has a tailored message for us. God's speaks to the man of God, and he preaches to us exactly what we need to hear and shares with us insight. And we walk out of that place and we say, you know what? It's not nearly as bad as I thought it was. Amen. You know what? I think I got the faith to go on. I believe I can make it now. I believe I can have victory now, because God gives us reinforcements on the road to recovery. Oh, somebody ought to thank the Lord for his timing. Somebody ought to thank the Lord for his insight. Somebody ought to thank the Lord that he comes through for us right when we need him to. Oh, come on, let's praise him like we really are thankful. Woo! Stand with me right now. Let's lift up our hands and praise the Lord. He said, I'm going to show you right exactly where they are. I'm going to give you an opportunity to surprise them more than they surprised you. And I mean, those enemies had totally let their guard down. The Amalekites were down there dancing and rejoicing, and they were drinking up. They were having a big old party. And they were flinting around there, enjoying themselves and laughing. They didn't even know how short-lived their victory was going to be. They didn't even know how short-lived all of the things that they had taken from the people of God, how long they was going to be able to hold on to it. I wonder tonight, before this service is over, if somebody just couldn't strip away from the enemy. Somebody couldn't just come up on the devil and say, well, when you took it from me, you thought you was going to be able to keep it. But no, I'm taking it back tonight. No, I'm going to get it back in my possession tonight. You thought you was going to get my prayer life, but no, I'm taking it back tonight. You thought you was going to get my worship in 2016 with all the discouragement and the disappointment and the problems and the challenges. But I got news for you, devil. I'm going to get my worship back. I'm going to get my praise back. I'm going to get my thankfulness to God back. So the Bible says, and David smote, verse 17, them with from the twilight even to the evening of the next day. That's a long time. Amen. That's really waylaying the enemy. And the Bible goes on to say that there escaped not a man of them, save 400 young men, which rode upon camels and fled. God gave him total victory. And David recovered all the Amalekites had carried away, and David rescued his two wives. Then verse 19, and there was nothing lacking of them. I'm going to tell you, God's got all you need tonight. Neither small nor great, neither sons nor daughters, neither spoil nor anything that they had taken to them. David recovered all. You understand? Everything. Somebody say everything. Everything the enemy had taken, David got it back. So he got everything back. I want you to watch this next verse. Verse 20, and David took all the flocks and the herds. The Bible already said that he had recovered all, which they had drayed before those other cattle. You see, they had plundered everybody around the land. They had taken from everybody in the countryside. And David said, I'm not just getting back ours. I'm not just getting back enough for me. I want you to get this tonight. I'm not just getting back enough for myself, but I'm getting back some for my fellows, for my friends, for people I've been believing for. I wonder if we couldn't just get enough to get us to Wednesday night, and Wednesday night to get us to Sunday, and get us from Sunday to Sunday, or week to week, or month to month. I wonder if we couldn't get enough that it overflow. And when we got on the job tomorrow, or when we got at school tomorrow, wherever it may be that we're at, that it affected them. And we had enough to pass out to somebody else. We had enough to give away. We had enough that it would impact somebody else's world. Affect our families and our friends and our neighborhoods. And he said, this is David's spoil. Anybody ask you about this? They want to know where this came from. You just tell them David went ahead and took it. And David came to the 200 men, which were so faint, I want you to watch this, that they could not follow David. They were weak. And whom they had made also to abide at the brook Bezer. And they went for to meet David and to meet the people that were with him. And when David came near to the people, he saluted them. And notice this. Then answered all the wicked men and men of Belial of those that went with David. This is talking about the guys that was helping him in the battle. And said, because they went not with us, we will not give them all. We will not give them aught of the spoil that we recovered, save to every man his wife and his children, that they may lead them away and depart. David got to thinking about that and said, you know what? That attitude, with that kind of spirit, you're saying you're the one that got the victory. You're saying you're the one that brought this revival. You're saying you're the one that is responsible for this great recovery. You're saying you're the one that was the one that brought about this great victory for Israel. Don't you remember when our city was burned down and we were totally discouraged and we had an army that we were opposing that was numbered well over and above us? And don't you remember when we were so weak we could hardly go on, we found that Egyptian boy down there and he led us right there? Don't you think God had something to do with this, fellas? Don't you realize it was God that brought this victory in the first place? It wasn't us. It wasn't us. We're not going to take the glory for it. We're going to give the glory to God. And when we realized that it was God that brought the victory, he said, ye shall not do so, my brethren, with that which the Lord hath given us, who hath preserved us and delivered the company that came against us into our hand. For we will hearken unto you this matter. But as for his part, as his part is that goeth down to the battle, so shall his part be that teareth by the stuff. They shall have part alike. And it was so from that day forward that he made a statute and an ordinance for Israel unto this day. And when David came to Ziklag, he sent of the spoil unto the elders of Judah, even to his friends, saying, behold, the present for you of the spoil of the enemies of the Lord. In other words, amen, because God gave us this victory, we're going to share it with somebody else. Because God gave us this victory, we're going to share it with somebody else. Because God helped us to get to this point, we can't contain it within ourselves. We're not going to be selfish with it. Come on here tonight. Amen. Come on, let's break out of just me and what I'm concerned with and what I need. And let's get into this idea that I can get so much victory tonight. There may be somebody that I'm not even aware of in this service that needs God to touch them and needs God to bless them. That's why I need to worship. That's why I need to get into this service. That's why I need a breakthrough. That's why I need to pray. That's why I need to seek God, not just for myself, but there's somebody else that needs a touch. Can't not just be all about me and about us. But when I start living outside of myself, God not only supplies my needs, but he supplies needs of people around me. He helps me to be a minister to other people. Praise God. Is anybody getting what I'm talking about here tonight? Oh, that's the kind of revival God wants to give, Landmark. The kind of revival not only impacts the people that I'm talking to right here, but impacts your influences all around this city and everywhere you go and every where your foot treads, people are affected by it, impacted by it, touched by it. God moves and God works. And it's not just you personally, but it's your family and your friends and people around. It's not just one person in the church being blessed, but when one person gets blessed, it spills over to somebody else. And it's like contagion. It spreads across the congregation. That's the kind of revival that God wants to give us tonight. I wonder if there's somebody that wants it. I want you to come down this altar quickly. If there's somebody that says, God, I want you.